You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Louis F. Leo IV, an attorney in Florida. Leo, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, David.
Now, we spoke yesterday at length, and you gave me permission to call you Leo, because that's what your friends used to call you, even though that's your last name, because it's on the back of your baseball jersey, right?
Exactly. All my coaches used to yell at me quite a bit. So I'm used to last name, first name. And if you actually look at my full name, I have three first names. It's Louis, Frank, Leo. So.
All right, Leo. I saw an article online that came from your organization about Jim Tracy, the Florida Atlantic University professor who was fired for having an opinion. And it says here that censored professor amends civil rights lawsuit against Florida Atlantic University and faculty union. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, Leo, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and how you got involved in this matter?
Sure. I'm pretty much a South Florida native. I moved down here when I was about 5 years old and been in Broward and Palm Beach County most of my life. I went to Nova Southeastern University for both undergraduate and for law school. I have been practicing now for over 5 years. I think I've lost track of time in those 5 to 6 years, but I handle a variety of different kinds of cases. I started out in the criminal sector. I do criminal defense, but now mostly dealing with civil litigation, from commercial litigation to, more recently with this case, civil rights, which is kind of near and dear to me. This case says Boca Raton professor. I live in Boca Raton, so it's our backyard, and that's really what sparked my interest in this case. And I also am a blogger and have a network of social media sites dedicated to truth seeking and sharing. So Professor Tracy's plight is also near and dear to me, in that I'm a big advocate for free speech and also for freedom of the press. And I believe that it's our civic duty to uphold the First Amendment and to protect not only our own rights, but the rights of others to express their constitutionally protected opinions and viewpoints on their own time, especially for an academic and tenured academic like Professor Tracy at a public university like Florida Atlantic University.
For the listeners, Leo, can you just run through a quick synopsis of what exactly happened to Professor Tracy? And I believe, as we were talking yesterday, he was fired, as you said, actually today, 1 year ago. So if you can give the listeners a background of the case, that would be great.
Sure. Professor Tracy was a tenured faculty member at Florida Atlantic University with expertise in communications, media, and most notably conspiracy studies. He actually taught a course called Culture of Conspiracy and was also a blogger. He had his own personal blog at all times, material to, I guess, the events that give rise to his lawsuit. He had his own blog on his own time, not using Florida Atlantic University's website or server or email address, and his blog had a disclaimer that said he wasn't speaking on behalf of the university, that his viewpoints were his own, and he at all times distinguished himself from the university when he was blogging about matters of public importance. In 2012, when the Sandy Hook school shooting happened up in Connecticut, there was quite a media frenzy around this mass casualty event. And Professor Tracy was one of the more notable critics of the official version of events or official narrative. And what actually brought Professor Tracy to my attention was a blog post that he shared digging into one of the officials from Connecticut. I believe his name was Wayne Carver. He was a coroner who had examined some of the victims at Sandy Hook. And I'll never forget watching Mr. Carver's interview multiple times because it was quite disturbing, not only his demeanor and the joking nature of his responses, but his bizarre lack of knowledge and personal knowledge of what he had just done. He's being asked to answer questions about caliber of bullets that were found in these victims, and he simply can't provide a response. He seemed almost like a buffoon. It was bizarre, and Professor Tracy's analysis on his own personal blog was very helpful in exposing the problems with this individual's story. And that wasn't all. There was a lot of anomalies and just problems with the official narrative from officials in Connecticut and law enforcement officials, and of course the national media, which really just adopted what they were told as the official story. after Professor Tracy had blogged about this, he was targeted by the Sun Sentinel, as well as CNN. Anderson Cooper did a special dedicated to shaming Professor Tracy and Florida Atlantic University for having him on FAU's payroll. This, of course, led to a flurry of complaints from the public, emails and other threats against the university and calls for Professor Tracy's termination because of his blogging. And this, of course, is detailed in the second amended complaint that was filed not too long ago, which is available on our website, floridacivilrights.org. You can read through it. And it really goes through the timeline of really internal harassment and targeting of Professor Tracy by Florida Atlantic University officials, as well as his fellow colleagues, who, without actually looking at what he had said or reading his blog and digging into at least the truth of the matter, they really adopted the media's disparaging and demonizing portrayal of Professor Tracy and began searching for the ways and means to discipline him and terminate him for his blogging. This began in early 2013. There was attempts by FAU administrators to actually discipline him for several reasons. They accused him of not submitting conflict of interest or, quote, outside activities forms for his blog, which were not subject to the policy. Traditionally, no FAU faculty member was ever required to report a personal blog, a Facebook page, or any constitutionally protected online speech to FAU or the FAU administrators for approval, which is a clear prior restraint or a violation of the First Amendment. So in early 2013, when they attempted to discipline Professor Tracy, the university was met with opposition from Professor Tracy's faculty union representatives, including an individual named Michael Motes, who's a service unit director of United Faculty of Florida and Florida Education Association, which is a massive conglomerate union association or organization that pretty much represents almost every faculty member in almost every public university in Florida. At that time, they defended him. They defended him on constitutional grounds. And FAU was also met with opposition from AAUP and FIRE, who are two prominent academic civil rights defenders. They both wrote letters asking for FAU to stop disciplining him or trying to discipline Professor Tracy for his blogging. And ultimately, FAU withdrew its threatened discipline and entered into a settlement agreement with Professor Tracy in September of 2013, wherein it was agreed that Professor Tracy would remove Florida Atlantic University itself from his blog's disclaimer, even though he really didn't have to. Professor Tracy at all times did what he could to comply with the university's demands and requests. He was accused of dragging FAU into his personal affairs, but that was just not true. It's pretty clear that Professor Tracy was blogging on his own time. He always distinguished himself from the university by way of disclaimer. And ultimately, FAU internally and records that we've obtained, which are attached as exhibits to the amended complaint, really show the state of mind of FAU's senior officials, both in 2013 and in 2015, when they again attempted to discipline him. Only in 2015, they had the help of Professor Tracy's union representatives, who about-faced him and actually helped FAU actually secure Professor Tracy's termination.
This amended complaint, I read the first one in its entirety and the second one. The first one, you make clear that there is a conspiracy against Jim Tracy involving not just FAU, but the union and also the national and local media. It's pretty amazing. But why the need for the second amended complaint?
Well, the Second Amendment complaint was the result of an order entered by the court following motions to dismiss filed by both the defendant university and the union defendants, ultimately dismissing two state law claims against the union defendants. It also dismissed one due process claim with prejudice and another due process claim without prejudice. So the Second Amendment complaint actually was in response to the court's order requiring Professor Tracy to amend his lawsuit. And ultimately, Professor Tracy has withdrawn certain claims that were dismissed, including we see as ancillary due process claims against the university and the union defendants. But the First Amendment claims against the university were not dismissed, and they still remain. So there's six remaining counts, including a retaliation count against the specific officials who were pivotal in Professor Tracy's discipline and termination for his blogging. He's also challenging this policy that the university calls the outside activities policy, which has been used as a pretext to violate his constitutional rights and terminate him.
Are you asking for?
Professor Tracy's asking for, of course, reinstatement, lost wages. He's also seeking injunctive relief against all of those individuals and those who are acting in concert with them to interfere with his civil rights. And he's also seeking punitive damages against specific individuals, including the officials from FAU and the union defendants who conspired to and in fact did violate his civil rights.
Okay, and I think it's real important for the listeners to read the lawsuit, the initial complaint and the amended complaint, so they can really get their mind around the absolute significance of this lawsuit. Leo, can you explain to the listeners why it is that you feel, and I feel the same way, that this is such an important case for the First Amendment?
This is probably one of the more recent cases involving really egregious conduct of university officials, administrators who are not academics, really targeting a professor, and not just a professor, but a tenured professor for what they're saying in their own personal time. It's a clear violation. And when I say clear, I mean blatant. And look through the timeline and look at the exhibits, look at the communications between officials, notes that were recorded. It's very clear that the school administrators here were looking for ways to overcome the First Amendment and disciplining and retaliating against Professor Tracy for what he was saying and for his opinions, which were constitutionally protected. And everybody knows. Everybody knows they were protected. What's most egregious about this is that they did it and didn't care. They didn't care about the ramifications. They knew what they were doing and just did it anyways. They caved to the pressure of public criticism, criticism from donors, criticism from outsiders, and really violated their own foundation, their own institutional principles, including upholding not only the First Amendment and their faculty members' civil rights, but also really protections that they expressly afford to their faculty members. Protections against censorship or against discipline for simply sharing your opinion or your viewpoints on your own time outside the university, which is something that nobody really disputes isn't protected. It's very clear. And it was clear to not only the administrators and staff who were targeting Professor Tracy, but it was clear to the union representatives at FAU who also represent almost every single faculty member in the state of Florida. So this case has and will have a ripple effect, regardless of the outcome. And obviously, we're hopeful that the court and the jury, once we get to a jury, will look at the facts and look at the record here and uphold the First Amendment and uphold Professor Tracy's rights, regardless of whatever he said, because we can spend hours and hours talking about whether what he was saying was true or false, or it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if he was talking about the moon landing being staged. He had the right to do that on his own time, on his own personal blog, and given the rise of social media and communications online and networking, this should be a concern for everybody, not just people in Florida or faculty members at universities, but this is something that people with Facebook page or any kind of social media should be concerned about. Because what this is a test case. This is the first attempt by FAU to actually target faculty members for their speech and to really chill their faculty. We use the word chill to deter faculty members from saying things that they disagree with. And that's exactly what the First Amendment is supposed to protect and safeguard. And it's exactly what college administrators and staff are supposed to protect. These are intentional, knowingly, willful, wanton, and reckless disregard for federally protected rights. And that should concern anybody and everybody who believes that the Constitution means something and that our Bill of Rights means something. With the rise now of allegations of fake news and talks of censorship and targeting alternative and independent media, this is perhaps one of the most important cases on this issue, at least in the realm of academia, because who's next? If FAU and the union can do this to faculty members that they don't like or they disagree with the viewpoints and opinions of these faculty members, then where does it stop? It's a very slippery slope, I think, as you and I both recognize. And I'm hopeful that more people will start paying attention to this case, as at least we've seen thus far. It seems as if most people just simply don't care because they perhaps don't agree with Professor Tracy or his blog, albeit most people haven't actually read it. In fact, most of the reporters or mainstream media representatives that I've spoken with have not actually gone to Professor Tracy's blog or actually read what he has written or what his opinion or viewpoint was or his analysis on matters of public importance. They're simply just adopting this demonization, this disparaging imaginary persona that was created by Professor Tracy's adversaries because they don't like what he's saying. And understandably, I mean, if you look at what Professor Tracy was blogging and really who he was blogging to, I mean, Professor Tracy really spent a great deal of time calling out the mainstream media, calling out pundits like Anderson Cooper and telling them to do their job, to actually investigate a lot of really problematic and glaring anomalies and issues that anyone who objectively looks at these events should have.
Yes, and Anderson Cooper, a pundit, I would have used the word agent because he was a CIA agent. There's no denying that. And there's evidence that the CIA is firmly in control of the captured mainstream fake media.
Operation Mockingbird in full effect.
Perfect. That's right. Operation Mockingbird. Exactly. We should be hearing something soon, I guess, as far as them answering. And then I guess, and I didn't mention this to you prior, but if it doesn't go the way that you would like it to go and the way that all lovers of the First Amendment would like it to go, is there a possibility it can go to the Supreme Court?
Absolutely. In our view, I think the facts are pretty clear, what we know so far, at least, and the records that we have so far. It's pretty clear, in our view, really an open and shut retaliation case. Obviously, it's a little bit more complicated because of the involvement of the faculty union and how they assisted these state university officials in disciplining and really violating Professor Tracy and his constitutional rights. It creates more issues for trial and more issues for the court to deal with. And we, of course, are expecting another motion to dismiss to be filed by the defendants. So they have another week or so to respond to the allegations. They have to date not filed an answer, so they haven't denied the allegations. They've sought dismissal on subject matter jurisdiction grounds. FAU has claimed that they're immune as sovereigns. The defendants at the faculty union side have claimed that this case is really an unfair labor case that should be brought before an administrative panel, and Professor Tracy doesn't get a jury trial for these claims under what's called PERC, P-E-R-C, which is the Public Employee Relations Commission. Based on the court's ruling regarding those state claims against the union, we've withdrawn those claims, which are ultimately ancillary claims. The big claim in this case and the big issue is, of course, the First Amendment claims. And those, in our view, will be moving forward. And at some point, he will get a jury trial. At this time, we don't know exactly when that will be. The court hasn't entered another scheduling order regarding the timetables here. So once the defendants have responded to the Second Amendment complaint, we anticipate we will have some kind of scheduling issued. So we'll have a better idea of when exactly this will go to trial.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to your success and the victory of this complaint, this suit, because there should be no way that anybody should be told what they can write about, what they can think about, what they can say on their own personal time. And Leo, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we sign off?
It's more than just them trying to tell him what he can and can't say. Of course, the record and the evidence shows that that's what they in fact did. In early 2013, there was clear directives to Professor Tracy from FAU officials to stop blogging and to stop blogging about Sandy Hook particularly. But this is really about school administrators in general, imposing their own viewpoints and their own opinions upon their faculty members and trying to require approval or some kind of disclosure of their faculty members' opinions and viewpoints in advance, some kind of prior restraint on faculty members, which is something that all college administrators know they simply can't do. And really, a lot of people look at the case and they say, well, this is Professor Tracy versus FAU, you know, et al., and all these other individuals and defendants. It's really FAU and the faculty union versus the First Amendment. If you zoom out and look at the bigger picture here, Professor Tracy is just one of many professors and academics who are being targeted. And Professor Tracy is perhaps the first in line at Florida Atlantic University. And the Second Amendment complaint really details not just Professor Tracy's concerns, his fear and uncertainty that he experienced at the university, but you also have professors of constitutional law who were on record in September of 2015, really upset and concerned. And if you look at particularly page 46 and 47, you'll see the internal dilemma and controversy, the fear, the uncertainty, and really the lack of concern from FAU officials or response and representation from union officials, which to me is the most egregious part of this case. Before Professor Tracy is disciplined and terminated, other faculty members are upset and complaining to the president of FAU, to the president of the UFF FAU chapter, the faculty union, and they're asking for the administration to stop violating constitutional rights. And within months, Professor Tracy is the first to go. So I would just implore your listeners and anybody who's noticed this case or wants to learn more about the case to dig into the allegations and actually read them. Don't take Anderson Cooper's word or some Sun Sentinel editor's opinion about the case. Don't replace your own critical thinking and analysis with somebody else's opinion or viewpoint. There's so many people who have just written Professor Tracy off because they think he must be crazy because he's been painted as crazy or conspiracy theorist. This is probably the most abused, loaded label for anybody, and it's exactly what they want. This is what the establishment and this is what those who don't like the First Amendment or like freedom of the press and freedom of speech, this is what they want. They want people to not do their own research, to not do their own investigations, and to explore the facts and make their own conclusions objectively. So I would, of course, encourage anybody who's looking at this case to actually get informed about it before jumping to a false conclusion.
Leo, and again, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners. Best of luck on this case and looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you too, David. I appreciate your attention and time to this case because if not you, then who, right?
It's absolutely the case, and I'll be following this closely, and I'm sure, as I mentioned previously, lovers of freedom to say what you want will be also, and what you're doing is very important, and James Tracy is a lucky guy to have you on his team.
There's a lot of resources online that people can use to help Professor Tracy and his cause. Professor Tracy has a legal defense fund at tracylegaldefense.org where listeners or supporters can donate to the cause. We also encourage people to get out and educate others online and offline about the case because really nobody's talking about it. None of the advocates that defended Professor Tracy in 2013 are doing anything to help him at this time. So it's going to take a lot of people outside of the usual channels to really raise awareness and to make this a matter as important as it is.
Thank you again.
And thank you.